So tonight is the week after we did communion. Is that still true?
Yep.
Yes.
Wow. So last time we were here, we had the candles, we had the low light, we had the remembrance of the broken body and the shed blood. And that's, we also looked at some heavy things that Jesus Christ went through, right? Yes. So tonight, I want to share on laughter. I didn't design it, God did, so blame him. Laughter. You ever notice that the happiest people tend to laugh a lot? You ever notice something like that?
Yeah.
Do you like to be around people who laugh a lot?
Yeah.
I do. People who are a little goofy, they make you laugh. I don't know why, but it's kind of fun to be around them. I like that. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I'll also say that there is a reason to be angry all the time. There's tons of reasons, like multiple levels of reasons why you should be angry all the time. Because of all the injustices in the world, because all the bad things that happen in the world and everything, right? So be angry all the time. You think that's a good solution to life? No. There's also every reason to be blessed all the time because of all the wonderful things that God has made in the world and all the great, beautiful things there are in the world about life. So what are you going to do with yourself? However you want to be, however you are, is because it's what you think about and what you have going on. So if you're pissed all the time and just negative and down, it's because all you're thinking about is all the crap in the world. But if you think about the good stuff and the stuff that's a blessing, then you'll be able to laugh a lot easier. Just saying. Proverbs 17. And we could just close with a word of prayer after that, right? That's it. Bye. Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. What a great verse, huh? A merry heart. Merry means joyful. A merry heart is a joyful heart. And a merry heart doth good like a medicine, and a medicine is a cure. Having a merry heart or a glad heart or a joyful heart is a cure. It's a cure to all the crappy thoughts that we have from the adversary in the world. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. It's a cure. The word means, the word cure means to thrust away a bandage that is no longer needed. Because when you're cured, you don't need the bandaid on anymore. You just chuck it, right? You know, you're swimming by in the pool and you see a bandaid half bloody in there. Someone didn't need it anymore. Or maybe they did. But when you're cured, you don't need a bandaid anymore. And that's great. That's awesome. And then it says, the second part of the verse, a broken spirit drieth the bones. And a broken spirit is a wounded or smitten spirit. It's like a disappointed, cast down, discontent heart. You know, we've all been there. We've all had hurts in our life. I don't care how old you are. You've had hurts in your life. And it drieth the bones. Drieth is silly, but wet things that dry up. And Albert and I have been saying for years, when sometimes we just get dried out. And it's a figure of speech, but it's like you're moist and you're nice and juicy, and all of a sudden something happens and you're like, sucks all the moisture out. And then you just dried out. You know? You been there? You know what I'm saying? Anybody get dried out recently? Yeah. It's sopping strength and vigor, this drieth out. But a glad, you know, being glad, being merry, being happy, being joyful, it gets you all juiced up and healthy and blessed. And when you're, you know, I'm not going to get into science, but you could look it up on your own. There's all kinds of studies that people that are negative and miserable all the time are very sickly. But people that are lighthearted and blessed are way healthier. So it's pretty awesome how God knew this kind of thing. There's a ton of stuff in the Word about this stuff. So it's great. Look at Proverbs 15:13, just around the corner. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's hurtful. To be sorrowful is hurtful. And I think sometimes, like if I'm upset and sorrowful, sometimes I don't know how to express it. And I don't, it's weird. Sometimes in my mind's eye, I look at myself. And it's good to do that sometimes. And you think, what are you thinking about? And you ask yourself and you look at, you know, what's going on. And I think, wow, I'm really sorrowful right now and hurt and I'm bugged, but nobody in the world knows it but me and God. And I know people go through those kind of things all the time where they're hurt and sorrowful, and maybe only them and God know it. And the adversary would love it if people just stay there and just stay hurt and bugged and just miffed all the time. But that's not God's heart for us. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. A merry heart here is similar to what we just looked at in the other verse. Glad, joyful. And the word cheerful, maketh a cheerful countenance, is awesome. A cheerful countenance, it means to be glad, to be joyful, to be pleasing, and pleasing too. And look at this. It also means make well. Literally sound beautiful. And you know that when you hear a cheer, right? A cheerful countenance. When you hear a cheer, it's a sound, isn't it? It's not a silent thing. You can't cheer quietly. I guess you could try, but yeah. But when you cheer, it's a sound. It's a beautiful sound. And you know, when you're blessed and have a merry heart and cheerful, you oftentimes what you're going to do is you're going to laugh. And you're going to make a sound with your laughter. And that's really cool, because who designed this whole thing? God did. We're not AI robots to walk around emotionless and walk around just to be programmed by the world and act depressed all the time. That's a crock of you know what. But God designed us to have a merry heart and to be cheerful and to laugh. He designed our whole system to be able to laugh and to cry. We can cry. Literally, water comes out of our eyes, you know, and tears come down. It's the opposite of laughter, is crying, right? So we could do either or, but we have the ability to laugh. And that is really interesting to me, that God designed that humor, laughter, that humor would make us laugh somehow or something. And here's a definition of the word laugh. This is just a regular old Webster's definition. It means to make spontaneous sounds and movements of the face and body that are the instinctive expression of lively amusement and sometimes also of contempt or derision. So in the word, like, we're not going to read every verse that covers laughter, but in the word, there's a ton of them that are the derision part, you know, where somebody laughs someone to scorn. It's like a bad kind of laughter. You know, I laugh at your calamity. Ah, ha, 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 ha. That's like those creepy laughs, right? Where they, I got you, ah, ha, 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 ha. Now I can kill you. Those are the creepy laughs. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the laughter that is the light laugh. This laughter comes from the heart, okay? It's when you're lighthearted, it's easier to laugh. And when you laugh a lot, you can get lightheaded because all this air is coming out of you and you start to fall down laughing, you know, like Albert did in my hallway here when his brother fell through the ceiling. When Albert knew his brother was okay, he laughed so hard he fell to the floor and just kind of gave up the ghost laughing. It was so funny. Right in front of his brother, too. You see? But a heavy heart, when you have a heavy heart, it's harder to laugh. And I know you've all been there where you have a heavy heart and then something funny happens or someone's trying to cheer you up and you start to get a grin going and you know it's funny, but you're like holding back because you're like mad or sad and you don't really want to laugh. But you know what I'm saying? When you have a heavy heart, it's just harder to laugh. And that's actually kind of a funny situation when you know somebody wants to laugh, but they're not laughing. Julie does that a lot. She'll be so emotional, upset, and I'll do something and she'll be like... it's great. Genesis 17. Then she'll get loud. No! Genesis 17:15. It says here, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and what? Laugh. You ever fall upon your face and laugh? With something so funny, you just go down. Like, that's what Albert did. He immediately fell to the ground. He was just struck with laughter, like, and just went down. This is what happened to Abraham when he heard this. And the 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? You ever see 100-year-old person? They're not smooth. They're a little dried out looking. They could use oil or water or whatever. You know what I'm saying? 100-year-old person. That's why Abraham laughed. Because it was ridiculous to think that he was going to father a child. He fell on his face and laughed. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? My 90-year-old wife? Okay. God must have a sense of humor, because why did he wait? Why did God have to wait until the guy was 100? Why couldn't he do it when he was like 30? 100. Genesis 18, 12. Now the wife. 18, 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? Oh, you know what she's talking about? How do you have a baby with somebody? Who wants to say? Yes, Martine. You got to do something with something, and then you get something. She's 90. He's 100. She might have been laughing at Abraham in there too, you know, like, really, Abraham is going to give me pleasure? She was, oh man, they're both cracking up over here. Okay. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a what? A son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And see, when you laugh, a lot of times it just falls out. It's something that happens spontaneously, as the definition says. Something could happen, you could hear something or see something, all of a sudden you're like, whoa! Then you cover your mouth because you're not supposed to laugh. Like, I was watching a little video of a guy with a chopped off leg doing resistance training with the thing, and it snapped off and it smacked him in the face. And this happened in like a video that took like 3 seconds. I didn't even have time to like, and I was, oh! But this is what happens sometimes. You think God wants us to enjoy our lives? Yes, he does. And it of course, it's not at someone else's expense, you know. We're not supposed to hurt each other and stuff like that. But God wants us to enjoy our lives and to laugh a little in our life. It's so easy to get so serious, especially with the Word of God. You know, like, people get so religious, right? People get so religious with the Bible. Oh, my gosh. It's so serious with the Bible. Meanwhile, look at John chapter 2. Man, I pray that I never lose the joy of the Lord and to not just have a light heart. Because life can beat you down and you can get pretty freaking serious all the time. and pretty burdened down. Okay, John chapter 2. I'm almost there. And in verse 1 it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Cool. A wedding. You like to go to weddings, anybody?
Yeah.
I kind of like to go to weddings when they're not super far away. But, you know, weddings are cool. It's a party, right? It's supposed to be a joyful time. It's not a funeral. A wedding's not a funeral. A wedding's supposed to be a happy time. And Jesus is going to go to a wedding with his friends. Verse 3. "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, they have no wine." Oh. They wanted wine in verse 3. Jesus and his boys, we're talking about the men who would be the apostles. They wanted some wine. Is wine a sin?
No.
No. Drinking is not a sin. If you abuse it and get drunk, then it becomes one. You miss the mark when you get drunk off alcohol because you lose your faculties. As Juliana knows, when a drunk lady fell on her, basically, that was not, you know, she understood what it meant. I literally was explaining what happens when you drink alcohol. And there was a physical example of a woman who fell over, kicked her chair, and her chair went flying, and Julie stood up at a restaurant. It was great. It wasn't Ro. It was someone else. So they wanted wine. They were at a wedding. So where's the wine? Right? Jesus Christ's mother, they have no wine. That's the best. Verse 3b, they have no wine. Okay. Jesus said unto her, verse 4, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." What a playful, just awesome mood the Lord must have been in. He wanted some wine. He was at a wedding. His mother said, "There's no wine." He says, "Woman, what?" Verse 5, "His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews." By the way, he was not rude to his mother at all. Not at all. Jesus Christ wouldn't do that, would he? He was not rude to his mother. But here, there were 6 water pots, verse 6, of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. So he didn't even say, "Give me some." He said, "Give it to the governor." And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of what?
Miracles.
It was the beginning of miracles. Did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This was the beginning of miracles that Jesus Christ did. This was the first one. At a wedding, to have a nice time together, to enjoy the fellowship, to have some wine at a wedding. The first miracle that God had his son do. Man, that's such a blessing to me. because it wasn't to do some incredible thing that, you know, it was just so that they could have a good time. That's God's heart for us. That's what he wants for us in our life. He wants to, you know, turn water into wine in our lives so that we could enjoy ourselves and be blessed and be lighthearted and just enjoy the life that he's given us instead of cry about the life that the adversary tries to give us. Man, what a great, great record. And some of the details of this record, those containers with the firkins and all that, ultimately it was the equivalent of about 600 standard bottles of wine that we have, that they made. They had a lot of wine. So that's what Jesus Christ's first miracle was. What does that say about God to you in your heart? God picked it. That's right. And this is the first miracle that happened in a long, 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 long time in the Word. Because before this, it was at least 450 years where there wasn't like a man of God like that doing stuff. Luke 15. Luke 15, and in verse 11, it says, oh, I'm not in 15. I was wondering what I was just reading. Wasn't right. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So he just took all his inheritance and jetted and blew it all. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swines did eat. And no man gave unto him. Can you picture yourself eating swine food? Sometimes, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I tasted my dog food one time. My dog's food. Just to see, like, that's just dog food. Wasn't very good. Kind of just tasted like smashed up cardboard. But the husk that swine did eat, that's what he had to have. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, now that's a cool saying. When he came to himself. You know, that's when you think about the reality of your situation and what you have going on, you realize stuff. I love that. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now, you got to realize, there's so many different things you could share about this record here, but all I want to focus on is God's heart for us. So, here he's saying, and you know, he's talking about his father, right, who lives wherever and all that. But in this parable, Jesus Christ is teaching about God. So look at that. When he came to himself, how many hired servants in my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? What can God do to supply in our lives? What kind of resources does God have at his disposal to supply in our lives? Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He has a plan now. And he arose and he came unto his father. But when he, the father, was when he was a great way off, his father saw him. So he's headed towards his father. And his father saw him coming. And he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father did this. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father wasn't sitting in the house saying, "Here comes the a-hole." He saw him coming and he ran to him. That's God's heart for us. You screw up royally in your life, and you will. God does not turn his back to you. He's always looking for you to come to him. From afar off, he sees you as soon as you turn. And he will go to you. That's what Jesus Christ is teaching here. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, verse 21. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." He didn't even get to say, "Make me as one of thy hired servants," in verse 22. But the father said unto his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be what?
Merry.
For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. He wanted to have a party with food. And verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. They were having a party. Do you like to go to a place where there's music and dancing and food? Hell yeah. That's a party. The father threw the party for the son. And the other brother comes and sees what's going on. Verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother is come. And thy father hath killed a fatted calf, and caused that, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was blessed for him and wanted to go in and dance.
Nope.
Yeah, sibling stuff. If you have a brother or sister, you know this stuff. Sometimes. Right? So verse 28, and he was angry. I would not go in. Therefore, look at this. The father comes out. The other brother won't go in. And the father finds out about this and goes out. That's how God is. He's the one looking to us and coming to us. All we have to do is turn his way. Therefore, came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgress at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." He had a beef. He had a grief. He had a grievance, a disturbance of mind. He had an issue with his dad, because he hadn't done that for him. And yet he was like the perfect child. Verse 30, but as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto his son, "Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Look at that. The father was just like, "You got everything. And yet you've been ever with me." Verse 32. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." That is God's heart for us. He would love us to be blessed, to be happy, to be merry, to have music and dancing, and just, you know, enjoy our lives. And when we blow it, that's his heart for us. Isn't that cool? That's grace. That's mercy. That's forgiveness. That's joy. That's peace. That's not holding grudges. That's God's heart for us. So, man, I like that God. I like the kind of God that wants to make water into wine so his son could have a nice time at the wedding, because that was his son. Just like this, having a party for his son. You know, I can't only imagine what the gathering together is going to be like when we're all gathered together for that party. You know, she willikers. Acts 2:41. Well, no, let's go to Luke 1. We're in Luke already. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The context of this is after Mary was pregnant with the Lord, because the angel came and talked to her, and she believed, be it unto me. You know, she said, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, she said. And right after that, it came, verse 41, it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb because she was pregnant, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for what?
Joy.
And that is just, I love that. And I think this kind of what inspired my college graduation party announcement. You know, I just got one of those from somebody. And it reminded me when I had my graduation party, and I put a picture on there, and what it was, I was jumping and leaping up in the air in different positions, and somebody was taking pictures of me, and I picked two of the coolest looking ones, and I put it on my invitation, and it was called the Jumping for Joy Graduation Party. That was when I graduated, and this is what happens when you have joy. Sometimes when you realize something and you have joy in your heart, you have to jump. You have to just leap up in the air. You know, you see those pictures of somebody, like if you were into acting school and someone said, okay, scratch the numbers on this card and act like you just hit a $1 billion lottery, what would you do? You would just go, hey, I won. Right? You'd be out of your chair. There would be air between your feet and the floor, and you would leap out. And that's what happens when you really have great joy in your heart. You leap and you jump for joy. Gladness means exultation, extreme joy, to leap or dance, to rejoice. That's what this is all about. That's so great. Acts 3:8, we're right in the neighborhood, kind of, aren't we? Acts 3:8 says, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This is the record when the man was lame was healed. He couldn't, his legs didn't work from his birth. But now he's healed. And what does he do, verse 8? And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. When you're happy, you leap. That's part of being joyful. You jump up in the air. Hooray! Yahoo! And you just do some jumping jacks and stuff. Get some calisthenics in. And that's, you know, nowhere in the Word does it say that God wants us to be angry, depressed, anxious, and fearful, and crying all the time. Nowhere. He wants us to be the opposite of that. He wants us to be, what's the opposite of fearful? I don't know. I guess you could say fearless, loving, bold, righteous, without fear. He wants us to be sound-minded. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be peaceful. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be all the good things that we all want. God wants it. And what do you think about? What do you dwell on? Because you have every right to be pissed off all the time. Bless you. There's so much crap in the world. You could just watch it go by and be so upset all the time. Or you could go to God's Word and live God's Word in your own life. See things come to pass in your own life. See great deliverance come to pass in your own life. See great miracles come to pass in your own life. See answered prayer, years of praying, and then boom, deliverance, and you don't have to pray about that thing anymore, and have joy in your life. That's the kind of life God wants us to have. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be blessed and to laugh and to be free and not in bondage. And some of the records in the Word are hysterical. You know, maybe on your own, when you read the Word, which you should read the Word on your own sometimes, not just sitting in a fellowship where someone reads to you, but will you actually pick up the Bible and read the Word? You could read the record about Elijah when he was mocking the other god, Baal, because he wasn't answering. He was like, what, is your God asleep? You know, it was such a cool record. And then God was supposed to answer by fire. And Baal gets nothing. And what does Elijah do? He has water put in there three times. There's a ton of water. And it was supposed to be fire. So he has them put water on it first. And then he prays and God licks it all up and burns it up. It's like, that is just an awesome, it's also hysterical when you think about it, of how he was sarcastic and said, oh, your God must be asleep. Maybe he's busy doing something. And then the other records where the donkey's talking and the guy's talking back to the donkey. All of these kind of things, records about dogs and people in the Bible, all these things. But we'll close in Psalm 100. This is a fun one to sing. We're not going to sing it. We're just going to read it. But it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So when you have the Word in your heart, when you actually take the time to put the Word in your own heart, you put the Word in your own heart, not just me at a fellowship or somebody else telling you a verse, but how about you putting the Word in your own heart? It's kind of like you feeding yourself food. You know, when you were a baby, you couldn't hold the spoon. Your mommy had to hold a spoon and do the airplane and put it in your mouth. I had fun doing that with my kids. And then after they get it all over their cheeks, you take the spoon and you scrape their face and you scoop it in their mouth even more. That's what a baby does. They can't feed themselves, so you feed them. But when a kid gets a little older, they start grabbing the spoon and they start shoving it in their own face. And that's what we need to do with the word, people. You got to get to the place where you feed yourself the word so that you can have joy in your heart. And you can do this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. How are you going to get to do that if you don't feed yourself the word? You're going to be fed the world. And you're going to be, instead of joyful, you're going to be miserable and sad because of the crap in the world and in school and at work and all of this stuff. That's what's going to happen. But if you have the word in your heart, hey, Christ could come back tonight. Wow, I'm righteous. I'm forgiven. I have peace right now. I'm more than a conqueror. You put the word on all of these things. Then you could make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. A joyful noise. What is that? Maybe it's singing, maybe it's laughing, but it's a noise. Serve the Lord with gladness, not with obligation. Oh, I got to do the word right now. Woe is me. I'm slowly dying. Shut up and go. Start your day over, you know? Leave your sourpuss at home. If you want life to be a little sweeter, put a little sugar in it. Put a little brown sugar in it. With coconut oil. And rub it on your body and eat it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what?
Singing.
Why? Because you're glad. You're lighthearted. You're blessed. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. God. It's he that made us, not we ourselves. You didn't make yourself. My gosh, that's stupid. We are his people. And now we're his sons. We're not the sheep of his pasture. We're his sons. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. We have great freedom in Christ. You can think whatever you want for as long as you want. And that's the beauty of it. We can decide to think the word more than the crap of the world. And be blessed in our life and not be part of the problem where someone has to come and cheer us up. We could be cheered up because of our believing of the word and then help someone else and cheer them up. So, God's not looking for perfection in any of us. He's looking for people to bless. And when he blesses them, it's because they believe the word, and then they're blessed. They will be blessed, happy. When you trust God and his word, you're happy. So we can all do that, and we can all have a fun life. That's what God wants for us. So how about laughing a little more? Is that going to hurt you?
No.
I used to do the laugh game when I was a teenager with Lance and Helen and Jason and Eric and these people. We used to sit around and just be doing nothing. So we'd play the laugh game. And it's where one person would just, from a cold face, spontaneously start laughing. Then go cold again. Then the next person do it. Then the next person. And before you know it, everybody was dying. The laughing game. It's fun. You should try it sometime. And you get to look at somebody when somebody's face when they're. You know, laughs are contagious. And you ever hear Lisi laugh? when she gets struck by something spontaneously and she starts to like inhale and it's a squeal. And then finally she catches like some air and then she lets out a yelp and it comes with tears. That's a laugh. That's from a deep place. And everybody has a laugh style. And some people's laughs are funnier than others. I don't want to say any names, but Caitlin Chow, she snorts when she laughs a lot. It's kind of hysterical. If you ever get around her when she starts going, she'll be laughing and all of a sudden snorting. And that's pretty shocking. The lovely, beautiful Caitlin snorting. It's just hysterical. It makes you wonder. So, just a little bit about laughter tonight and having a merry heart, okay? Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Who wants to pray? Close with a word of prayer. Go ahead, Lex.
God, thanks so much that we can control our minds and choose what we think about. Thanks for light hearts and how you just really want us to be happy. Thanks for all you do to bless us, and thanks for a great night, and continue to bless me on her birthday. In your son, Jesus Christ,
amen. Amen.